Track 14, An Artist of Great Distinction. This month, our resident historian looks back at the life of West Norfolk artist Walter Dexter.
Sitting at my desk researching Walter Dexter for this article, my eye kept glancing up at my study wall. On this wall hangs an eclectic range of pictures, spy cartoons of famous cricketers of a bygone age, a photograph of my father with Queen Mary on the steps of St. Margaret's, now King's Lynn Minster, a few antiquarian prints, and a very small watercolour panel of Blakeney waterfront. Small, but perfectly executed, and with a dedication on the back. To the Reverend H.B.J. Armstrong, Vicar of St. Margaret's, this little panel of Blakeney, with my warmest regards, Walter Dexter. What, I wondered, lay behind this unlikely gift from a long-term atheist to an Anglican priest? Could it be a common interest in art? My father was no mean watercolourist. Possibly, but I think the more likely explanation is Dexter's love of St. Margaret's and his appreciation of my father's role as its then current incumbent. A great deal of Dexter's subjects were local in content, and St. Margaret's was a particular favourite and in plain view of his studio. Dexter was born in Northamptonshire in 1876. Though the family originated from King's Lynn. The family business was not unconnected with art, but of a new type. Photography, at least in a form enabling permanent reproduction, was becoming a form of art which enabled a much wider audience to have access to it. For the middle classes, carte de visite, and for the lower classes, photographs of sons away fighting in colonial wars or daughters in service at the big houses, ensured a healthy demand, supplemented by the demand for postcards as holiday travel grew with the coming of the railway age. Business boomed, and Walter's father, Sothern, was set up in Wellingborough as a photographic artist. Whether this was with an intention to establish an independent operation or as an expansion of the family firm in King's Lynn is not clear. But after a few years, the family returned to King's Lynn, and Sothern worked with the family business again. Thus, Walter returned to Norfolk at a young age. His return meant that he was able to benefit not only from tuition at the hands of Henry Baines, a noted local artist and brother of Thomas Baines, the explorer and war artist, see Norfolk Magazine, January 2024, but also to learn from his photographic artist grandfather to observe the effects of changing light and cloud on the appearance of objects in the countryside. From 1892, at just 16, he decided to devote himself entirely to building on his natural talent for art and became a student at the Birmingham Art School. This article is not long enough to discuss in detail Dexter's technique and the nature of his work. Neither am I in any way qualified to do so. My intention is to focus on the man, his life and tragic death, and leave readers to discover for themselves the pleasure of viewing his work. Two good places to start would be Charlotte Patton's book, A Portrait of Walter Dexter, Lark's Press 2014, which reproduces a number of his paintings held in private collections and thus not available for public viewing, and those held at King's Lynn Museum, which are. Birmingham was a good choice. When I worked there in the 1980s, my office was a short stroll from the museum and art gallery. Occasionally, I would forego lunch to visit the gallery and enjoy a brief viewing of the wonderful pre-Raphaelite paintings in the collection. Birmingham had a long-term fondness for such paintings. The city was really a child of the Industrial Revolution. It became wealthy very fast, and the new rich, anxious to demonstrate how civilized they were, spent freely to buy fashionable paintings. Burne Jones, a native of Birmingham, was one of the pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, and was himself an alumnus of the art school. Both Holman Hunt and his friend and associate William Morris lectured there while Dexter was a student. It is perhaps not surprising that two of Dexter's most famous works, both dating from early in his career, show the characteristic use of light, colour and detail of that movement. One of these workshop paintings is at the Castle Museum in Norwich, but both are reproduced in Charlotte Patton's book. It must have taken some courage for a 16-year-old in the late 19th century to leave the peaceful environs of Norfolk for the bustle of a booming metropolis. But Dexter seems to have thrived. He stayed there 8 years, perhaps particularly enjoying the company of other highly committed young artists. The recognition he received probably reinforced his self-belief in his ability. He returned initially to Norfolk, where he set out to teach drawing and painting in King's Lynn. Amongst the memorabilia about him, held at King's Lynn Museum, is a later splendid poster advertising his services. He was then in Hunstanton, and reassuring potential students that the premises were well lighted by gas with incandescent mantles. I'm just old enough to remember the dim gas lighting in the home of an eccentric aunt back in about 1950. Dexter's lighting 30 years earlier must have been incandescent indeed to enable an artist to work with its illumination. But Dexter was not content just to teach. He was as keen to display his own paintings and did so with some success. Although King's Lynn and later Felixstowe, whence his parents had moved, remained his home base, he started to travel quite extensively in Europe, indulging his interest in medieval architecture and studying the work of the great European masters. His range of subjects broadened, and his work became much sought after for illustrating literary works. He continued his somewhat peripatetic lifestyle until just before the Great War, during which time, as well as continuing his art, he also worked as a freelance writer. Returning to England, he married in 1915 Helen Chadwick, who was to become the subject of several Dexter portraits over the years. Dexter was 39, Helen just 4 years younger. Dexter himself had been politically an advocate of socialism and even stood as a candidate in local elections. But up to this time, he had not demonstrated any sign of atheism. Helen may have had more advanced views. They both became members of the Rationalist Association, whose members, feeling that there was no evidential support for the concept of a supernatural being, rejected religion and were either at least agnostic or more probably atheist, which makes it rather surprising that they married in church. They settled in a cottage in East Winch, which Dexter had bought a few years earlier. On the political front, Dexter joined the Fabians. Dexter was not in active service in the Great War, apparently failing to meet medical requirements. In 1916, needing to generate a secure income, he went into teaching full-time. And, in a manner rather reminiscent of the unfortunate Paul Pennyfeather in War's Decline and Fall, he applied to an educational agency. They found him a post as an art teacher in Bolton. His time there seems to have been happy and fulfilling. He was involved in extramural activities at the school, whose headmaster much regretted Dexter's later return to Norfolk. He then became art master at Glebe House Preparatory School in Hunstanton. At one time, I chaired their board of governors and asked the late John Crofts, the then headmaster, to search the archives for information about Dexter's career there. Sadly, the answer was, as they say, a lemon. He could find no record at all of Dexter's time there, though in the museum at King's Lynn is at least one of his sketches used in the then-current school prospectus. Teaching obviously appealed. A secure income in the King Edward VII school in King's Lynn, and his painting flourished. He was a member of the Royal Society of British Artists. His work was exhibited at the Royal Academy on 8 occasions, including one of his beloved St. Margaret's, and in many other prestigious settings. His skills were recognised locally too. Some work was commissioned by the local council, but perhaps the high point of his career came when he was commissioned by them to paint the Customs House in 1936 as a gift to the city of Vancouver, named after its King's Lynn-born discoverer. In a major event, the final painting was presented to the Lord Mayor of London, who was to deliver it in Canada during the celebrations of Vancouver's Jubilee. There were, as usual on such occasions, a flurry of speeches. Dexter's reveals a nice, gentle sense of humour, as well as his appreciation of the honour done him. Helen, who had been involved in some of the extramural work at Bolton, was little seen in King's Lynn, and in 1948 she died, being given a funeral which was adapted to take account of her atheism. 5 years later, Dexter finally moved out of the cottage they had shared throughout the Norfolk-based stages of their marriage and bought instead a former pub, the Valiant Sailor, in the centre of King's Lynn. Not only did this provide him with a studio which looked out directly on St. Margaret's, but it was convenient for him to be able to enjoy all the various associations to which he belonged. Everything from the golf club to the King's Lynn Festival, in the foundation of which he was involved. He seems to have lived happily in his later years, but perhaps not as comfortably financially as his successful career might lead one to expect. He died in 1958 in his early 80s. He had been out shopping, and crossing the road he was struck by a 16-year-old motorcyclist. Apparently he died as a result of striking his head on the pavement as he fell, dying 2 days later from a brain hemorrhage. No action was taken against the motorcyclist, and the coroner described the death as accidental. His character seems, in some ways, to be a collection of contradictions. Charlotte Patton must have conducted exhaustive research because she quotes a huge range of character references from those who knew him. The overall impression is of a man whose dignity, charm, and kindness, but also perhaps of a rather retiring nature, yet capable of elegant discourse when pressed to speak, a man who encouraged his pupils, but didn't seek to maintain discipline amongst the less interested ones. She describes Dexter as an enigmatic man, a very fair description. We should remember Dexter with pride. He achieved much, attracted royal patronage, and was a leading character in several local organisations, and gave much back to the Norfolk of which he was so fond. You can purchase Charlotte Patton's book at thepattons.com.